The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email us, td@kpcg.fm. You can also get to the live stream of this program every day, 7 a.m. Central Time in Oklahoma or around Oklahoma, and also 1 p.m. in the afternoon here in the UK, 2 p.m. in the afternoon in Europe. You can get to that at thetrumpet.com/live. You can always get to that live stream. Today on the program, we'll continue with our study from, well, not yesterday, but the first couple of days or the couple of days before yesterday, Thy Will Be Done. We'll look to that in the second segment. Well, hooray for Poland. I saw some tweets last night right at the start. I didn't get to see the game. But it was right at the start of the World Cup, I believe the World Cup qualifying. Poland's playing England. You had the England side all taking a knee at the start of the match, as is customary. Most soccer teams here in the UK, even for the Premier League games, they still do this. They've done it almost for a year now. But you had England on the one side taking a knee, and Poland, as a team, decided not to do that. They and they're following the example of the Czech Republic, I think, from the night before, the team that also decided not to take a knee. The Daily Mail said the move comes a day after the Czech Republic players pointed to the same part. So they're deciding to point to some patch. I don't know what the patch means. In any event, they're not taking a knee to the BLM movement. That's what it amounts to. And I thought this statement was pretty cool from the Czech Republic soccer team. It says, following the events of the last days, weeks, and months, the management of the Czech national football team, together with the Football Association of the Czech Republic, want to jointly announce that the national team will take a neutral, apolitical stance. Imagine that, a sports team deciding not to take a political stance. And that's what this is. It's all politics. These teams are woke, and they've come under intense pressure from the radical left. It's astounding to me just how much power or how many powerful organizations that really and truly are controlled or at least strongly influenced by radical leftists, by Marxist revolutionaries, and even still entire teams. There's a few exceptions. There's a few individual exceptions on certain teams here in the UK, and I think two or three teams that are starting to stop with this. But most have just gone right along. They've decided to take a neutral, apolitical stance to certain topics that have been resonating in the sports environment. That's the statement from the Czech Republic. I think it's interesting. Here are these former communist bloc states, you know, former Soviet satellites, Poland and the Czech Republic. And you see, in some cases, there's more freedoms and less of an inclination to bow before these communist influences. I wonder why, even with respect to the freedoms. I told you about my colleague, Brad McDonald, who He worked it out to go to Poland. He has to get a visa or applied for a visa to get into the United States. So he's been looking under all of these restrictions. You have a lot of embassies that are just saying, yeah, you have to stand in line, or we can set up a meeting, but they get canceled. And so in just looking at some of the countries in Europe that have fewer restrictions, he came upon Poland, got his visa approved yesterday. Hopefully it'll be in the mail today. Or perhaps this weekend. But to go to Poland, where there's fewer restrictions, where they're not just crazy for face masks and taking tests anytime you want to get onto a plane or whatever, And yet in the United States, in the United Kingdom, these nations that have just been the champions for freedom and liberty, and we see so many, as I've covered this week, we see so many of those freedoms and liberties just eroding away. There was some bit of good news coming out of the UK. This UK government report, after all of the BLM riots last summer, the UK government, they set up this official investigation into whether or not there was structural or systemic racism in the UK. And astoundingly, they found that there isn't, if you can believe it. Here's some bit of good news. Here's something that can make you smile and make you say, you know what? Maybe our nation, maybe the formerly great kingdom or Great Britain, maybe for all of its flaws, maybe it also did some good for a lot of nations. Maybe it opened up a lot of freedoms for nations abroad. Well, here comes this report, and I mean, it's full of quite a lot of evidence showing how it's fair and how there's so much equality. I mean, some of the things that, you know, nations, our nations celebrate in terms of equality and such. Again, we want to try to align our standards with what God reveals in the Bible. But it is just refreshing to see a report coming from the government that's not trashing the nation, trashing your own nation. We've just gotten so accustomed to that. Of course, the radical left here in the UK, their heads are exploding now that the news is coming out about this report. They had a black academic on BBC this morning, and he talked about how angry he was that the report denied that there was systemic racism. He didn't really get into anything, the evidence actually discussed in the report. It's just we're used to this too, just an emotional reaction. Well, you've got to do this. Well, you've got to kneel down. Well, you've got to allow the rioters to just run free course. You can't stand up to the mob. You submit to the mob. You surrender to the mob. And the few that don't, well, they get news just because they won't bow down. That's where we are today. This report, incidentally, was largely put together by people who were or are ethnic minorities. That's amazing as well. It concludes with this. Put simply, we no longer see a Britain where the system is deliberately rigged against ethnic minorities. You're not going to find a report like this in the United States, sadly. Even though there's opportunities galore for people of all races in the United States, more opportunities than any other nation on earth. Here in the UK, they say, you know what? It's not deliberately rigged against a certain minority. It's just not. And here's the evidence. And they go through it. It says that the accusations of institutional racism, that they're just thrown around too often. It's like the racism charge in the United States. White supremacy now. If the left doesn't like it, you see it with the Georgia voting laws. The legislation just last week. They didn't like it, the radical left. So what do they say? Well, it's racist. I'll come to that in just a bit. But this commission chairman who headed up this project, his name's Tony Sewell. He said he wrote in the report that the impediments and disparities do exist. They are varied, and ironically, very few of them are directly related to racism. He added this: the evidence shows that geography, family influence, socioeconomic background, culture and religion have more significant impact on life chances than the existence of racism. In other words, your family background, those kinds of things. I mean, that's really what's going to influence your course in life. Certainly more so than institutional rigging of some kind. It's not even there. So says this report. It rejects the charge that racism is causing higher COVID-19 deaths among minority groups. You hear some of that nonsense in the United States as well. And it actually points to the importance of family. Boy, I don't think Harry and Meghan are going to like the findings from this report. I know Oprah won't like it either. This doesn't fit into their narrative. You're not going to get these long, drawn-out interviews. What? As Oprah said. What? There's charges of racism all over the place. It just fills the air. This is from the Telegraph this morning. It finds no evidence that institutional racism exists in Britain. In fact, it points out that in some areas, such as education, particular ethnic minorities outperform their white counterparts. Even more boldly, it ventures that the UK should be seen as a model for other white majority nations. What? Are you crazy? Well, a little positive news. If you happen to be here in the UK, you can do a little research and look into this report on your own. And as Richard pointed out this morning, it's not like that this group that put this this report together, it's not like there are these far-right conservatives by any means. There's some things in the report that are actually quite liberal. But they're just looking at the opportunity for all races and ethnicities and concluding that, you know what, there's quite a lot of opportunity for anyone here in the United Kingdom. Donald Trump sat down with his daughter-in-law earlier this week. I think the interview went on for something like 18, 19 minutes. And really, Sam went through the entirety of the interview, and there's maybe not as many exciting sound bites as we're used to with Donald Trump. But the big news about this sit-down was that Facebook decided to cancel it. Facebook, just anything with Donald Trump speaking. I'll come to their reasoning here in just a second. But that's basically what they've decided. If he speaks, then we delete. Here's a little bit of him speaking. This is clip 13.
They want to take down monuments to heroes. They want to get rid of our history, obliterate our great history. Whether it's good or bad, you learn from it. You have to learn from history.
Right.
And some is bad and some is good. I would say most of it's good, but they want to obliterate our past. And once you do that, you don't have much of a country left.
So there's Donald Trump basically saying some things that you might have seen in this recent report here in the UK. You know, there's some bad in the history, but there's some good. I would say there's mostly good. Someone who's actually praising his own country. Imagine that. Facebook said this, and this is their reasoning why the video would be removed. Just a reminder that content posted on Facebook and Instagram in the voice of President Trump is not currently allowed on our platforms. In the voice. I mean, it's not even about, he got into the election rigging. There's no evidence of that. So we're going to delete this. It's not about the January 6th so-called insurrection. Just the voice. The voice of Donald Trump. They can't have it in the United States of America. At least not at Facebook. And Facebook, I believe, owns Instagram, as it says there in that notice. It's unbelievable. If Donald Trump is talking, then it's going to be silenced. That's what they're saying. It says here, this is a tweet from Molly Hemingway. Big tech oligarchs exercising raw power to silence their political opponents is utterly terrifying to observe. It's terrifying what we're seeing, what we're witnessing. These big tech, as she says, oligarchs, these tyrants, these autocrats who are deciding what you should even hear or not hear, even if it's just totally, well, as I say, the interview wasn't even that explosive at all. It started out with her saying, "How have you been? How have he was the 45th president of the United States. How have you been, Donald Trump? Delete it. Let's get it off of Facebook. Let's take it off of Instagram." The fake president, Joe Biden, by the way, he was in Pittsburgh yesterday. And here he is, as it happens, he's talking about Autocrats, the difference between a democracy and an autocracy. This is him from Pittsburgh, clip two.
I truly believe we're in a moment where history's going to look back on this time as a fundamental choice having been made between democracies and autocracies. You know, there's a lot of autocrats in the world who think the reason why they're going to win is democracies can't reach consensus any longer. Autocracies do.
That's amazing to me because he's basically talking about how he went about stealing the election on November 3rd. He knew he didn't have the majority. Those that were behind him, it's Obama, of course, pulling the puppet strings. But they tucked him in the basement. He didn't even campaign. He didn't even try to do it the Democratic way. They cheated. They stole it. This is what autocrats do. My father wrote just earlier this year, January 2021, the left doesn't want opposition. They want tyranny. That's because they're following Satan the devil, who has a stranglehold on them. I mean, here for the better part of a year now, I guess going back to March last year, for a year now, this radical leftist movement, these Marxist revolutionaries, I mean, they've been playing straight from the autocrat playbook, transforming the United States of America into Venezuela as fast as they can. And then they get up and they talk about unity. They talk about democracy. They talk about giving everyone a voice. They talk about giving everyone a vote. Even as they go about canceling even the voice of Donald Trump. This is a little bit more from his interview with his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, clip 11.
I think people get it. And, you know, I think very importantly, the things that he said and whether we debated or whether he just made statements, all of those things were not what he's doing. This is more liberal, more radical than Bernie Sanders ever had in mind. Bernie could not be happier. But this is something Bernie would have never suggested what's happening. He never talked about what he's doing to destroy energy and the Second Amendment now is going to be next. They're going to destroy the Second Amendment. All of the things that they're doing are things, raise taxes at a level, the biggest tax increase in history. Those were not things that were discussed at all during the election.
They weren't even talked about. Or if they were, you had Biden distancing himself from Bernie Sanders, AOC, the radical wing of that Marxist revolutionary movement. And now, as Donald Trump said there, well, Bernie Sanders couldn't be happier with the direction of the United States. Barack Obama is ecstatic. He's loving it. He's getting to do things now as the puppet master that he never could have pulled off between 2008 and 2016. Never could have happened. So they lie to get in. They cheat in order to win. And then you see, I saw Jill Biden, a speech she gave yesterday, part of it in pretty bad Spanish. Hardly anyone there. We're going back to the hula hoop, the rings that are spread across a field. You had more Secret Service than you had people attending the rally, whatever it was. And then the amount of interest, as a contrast, in whatever it is Donald Trump shows up to speak at, the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, so much so that Facebook, they've got to delete it. And then you look at the videos from poor Joe Biden and the dislikes. YouTube came out this week saying that it's going to remove the dislike counts. Why? Well, they're concerned. They're a little bit concerned. This is what they said. We've heard from creators that the public dislike counts can impact their well-being and may motivate a targeted campaign of dislikes on a creator's video, the announcement says. So we're testing designs that don't include the visible like or dislike count. In other words, we're seeing how many people dislike Joe Biden's videos. So we're thinking about just deleting that as well. I mean, after all, we don't want the general public to understand how unpopular he is. He's the most popular president ever. 81 million votes, is that right? This has been going on for years. I forget when YouTube came around, but it's been there from the start. And people make decisions about what they're going to watch on YouTube strictly based on how many likes, how many dislikes. And we've been pointing this out to you on this program, like 4-1 or sometimes 10 or 12-1, dislikes to likes. And here comes YouTube now saying, look, we're just doing this out of concern for the YouTube community. They're deleting it. The dislikes are disappearing, as well as Donald Trump's voice. Here's a bit more from Donald Trump's interview, clip 12.
But I think social media has become so corrupt that people aren't believing it anymore, really. I mean, a lot of it has become very corrupt. It's really become like the media itself, very corrupt.
That's true.
We don't have freedom of the press anymore. You know, we had freedom of the press, and it's a terrible thing to say, but we really don't have freedom of the press anymore. We have a corrupt press with a point of view.
A corrupt press with a point of view. And if you don't fit that point of view, you're deleted. Now, the big tech oligarchs, they're right in the back pocket of the Biden administration. And so you have the autocrats. They're making the decisions. If the majority speaks, if the majority say, I mean, this is, again, this is a democracy. This is a republic. The people, if the Democrats are in the majority, you can be sure they're going to be talking about the people's voice. If they're not, then they say delete it. They say cancel. They don't want, as my father has said, they don't want opposition. They want tyranny. They want tyranny. Look at some of the policies. 2 months in, trillions and trillions of dollars. In Pittsburgh, by the way, he was there. The fake president was there to try to get people on board with his, I think it's another $2 trillion package. This one is being sold as infrastructure. And I think it was the Washington Post that said only about a third of the money is actually going toward infrastructure things. It's like, again, it's right out of AOC's playbook. This is Green New Deal. This is the Biden administration embracing Green New Deal. And even some of these left-wing papers, the New York Times and the Washington Post, the Washington Post headline, this was brought to our attention from Newsmax. Only $650 billion of the $2.25 trillion infrastructure bill is for roads, bridges, and so on. A lot of it, most of it, going toward all of these left-wing favorites. This is Joe Biden yesterday talking about how important this is to reshape the U.S. economy. Clip one.
And I hope and believe the American people will join this effort. Democrats, Republicans, Independents, we can do this. We have to do this. We will do this.
We can do this. We can print these trillions of dollars. We can do this. We can keep, you can stay locked down even. You can, the economy can stay shut down, and we can keep printing trillions and trillions of dollars as if this is some kind of courageous act. As the United States goes deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. COVID, and trillions. Here he is yesterday talking about the number of deaths because of COVID-19. And I would refer you back to yesterday's program where we talked about that new CDC report saying that 78% of those that die from COVID, they're overweight or morbidly obese. That's just the facts. That's just the truth. Here's Joe Biden yesterday, clip 3.
Ordinary Americans doing extraordinary things. People who break their necks every day for their families and the country they love. A country that, in fact, which on the day I was elected, was in extreme distress. With the virus on a deadly rampage that has now killed over 500 I carried in my pocket every day. I have the list of exactly how many have died. 547,296 Americans dead from the virus. More than all the people killed in World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War, 9/11. 547,296 Americans, and an economy that left millions out of work and created so much anxiety.
We got to try to get as much mileage out of the COVID-19 as possible. And notice how he's got to bring it out of the card from his suit, as if this is now normal. Last week at his press conference, he's got a big stack of notes, even with pictures of reporters. And this next clip I'll play from ESPN. He's on a 10-minute interview last night with ESPN, and he's got the cards there again. Now, I use notes too. I'm just pointing out a contrast between this fake presidency and the one like Donald Trump, where he, and this was brought out in the interview with Laura Trump, the fact that he gave so much access every day to the press pool, on the plane, outside of Marine One, in the press conference room, everywhere. And he knew his material. He knew the material from his briefings. It's very different now, though, where it's all carefully scripted or written out for this president. Last week, in his press conference on that Thursday, he spoke a little bit about the new legislation in Georgia, the so-called election integrity legislation, where they just wanted to come in and say, look, there's a lot of Georgians that are concerned about what happened in November of 2020, and so we're going to tighten it back up. We're going to make sure that you have to have identification. We're going to make sure that you can't be bribed into voting a certain way. This is how it was covered in the Wall Street Journal. Again, this is from last week. It says, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed into law changes to the state's election requirements, including altering how people vote absentee and where people can drop off their ballots. It says the bill passed Thursday in the Georgia legislature. It's far less extensive. Listen to this. This bill is far less extensive than numerous bills that were initially proposed by GOP legislators following opposition to those measures from Democrats and some major corporations based in the state. So basically, it's pretty weak. Like, it's just some common sense measures. And they actually wanted to make it a lot more strict, these Republicans. But they compromised. They just kind of wanted to get somewhere in the middle. Listen to this. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The bill requires absentee voters to request ballots by providing their driver's license number, the last four digits of Social Security, or a copy of some other accepted form of ID. In other words, if you want to submit an absentee vote or ballot, you just have to provide some ID. Okay, so that's number one. It says they also have to provide this information when they mail in their ballots. Currently, people sign an absentee ballot application and sign the ballot when they mail it in. It says the bill also places new limits on how parties and voting groups mail out absentee ballot request forms and limits the number of ballot drop boxes to one per county except for large counties, which can set up one box for every 100,000 registered voters. It says the drop boxes must be kept in secure voting locations and emptied and processed by election officials every night. See, because of last year, and all of the new rules that Secretary of State just put into place without even going through the legislatures. They had drop boxes all over the place. They lowered the standards as far as signature matches are concerned and ID requirements and all of that. And there were Democrat operatives that were going out. They were going out looking to buy votes. Hey, we'll give you some food and drink here if you'll vote this way. We'll give you this little gift card if you'll vote for the Democrats. That stuff goes on. It goes on all across the country. So this goes through last Thursday, and then you come right to Thursday night when, or Thursday afternoon when Joe Biden gave that press conference, and you'll remember this exchange with the reporter. Notice how the reporter, by the way, says they're doing this, the Georgia legislature, okay, so this passed through, these are elected representatives for the state of Georgia, and they voted this legislation through. And here is a reporter standing up and saying they're doing this to restrict voting. They're doing it to prevent you from voting. That is a lie, a blatant lie. They're doing it just to help restore a little bit of election integrity. Notice how Joe Biden, though, responded to this nice, perfect softball pitch to him from this CBS reporter, clip 14.
Republican legislatures across the country are working to pass bills that would restrict voting. Are you worried that if you don't manage to pass voting rights legislation, that your party is going to lose seats and possibly lose control of the House and the Senate in 2022?
What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick. It's sick.
It's un-American, he says. In fact, they're sick because they know that if states follow this course of action, and as I say, it should be even stricter, but we'll let that go for a moment. If other states follow this course, it's just going to make it harder for them to cheat. It's going to make it harder for them to steal. And so they're coming out with these charges once again, racism. It's racism. It's Jim Crow. My father said in Saving America, we're getting a hard look at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and stay in power. They have no respect for law. Listen, this is law. This passed through the House and the Senate in Georgia the way laws are supposed to. That's what they're there for. They're elected representatives. And this is the legislation that they put forward. Now, he came off with these last week when he said it's sick, it's un-American. He then went and said they're not going to be able to bring water to people in line. They're going to die of thirst. Or the polls are going to close at 5 p.m., which happens exactly nowhere. And so he's out then. He's with ESPN, the sports network. He's on with them last night, and he's continuing. The Washington Post has already exposed the lies that he told last Thursday, but it doesn't matter. He's there telling the same whoppers to ESPN. Just last night, this is clip 5.
So, Mr. President, what do you think about the possibility that baseball decides to move their All-Star game out of Atlanta because of this political issue?
I think today's professional athletes are acting incredibly responsibly. I would strongly support them doing that.
She's talking there, the reporter, about Major League Baseball possibly pulling the All-Star game out of Atlanta because it's in Georgia, because MLB doesn't agree with what the Georgia legislature just put through. So they're going to protest. They're going to take the game away from Atlanta. That's the threat. And Coca-Cola and Delta, they're following suit. That's right. Now, you go to a Coca-Cola shareholders meeting and you got to show some kind of identification. But you shouldn't have to do that, says Coca-Cola, if you're voting for the president of the United States. Delta's taking a similar position. They've got a big hub in Atlanta. Here are these radical left-wing companies, and they're as woke as so many of the soccer teams here in the European area. You got to take a knee. Now you contrast what the legislature did last week with what some of these radical secretaries of state were doing last year when they just bypassed the legislature. They just bypassed the will of the people. They just changed the Constitution. When that happens, I mean, the autocrats and the propaganda media, they love it. They love it. When you just cancel, delete, let's get rid of the dislikes, let's make sure we get rid of the voice of Donald Trump. And then the people vote on something, and the legislature follows through on the will of the people. And you've got Major League Baseball, you've got Coca-Cola, you've got Delta. This is war, basically. They know. They want that H.R. 1 to pass through nationally at the federal level. They want to ram that through so that every state has to do what Washington, D.C. says you must do, even though it's in the Constitution that the states decide how to set up the elections. So they want to take power away from their political opponents. They want to take power away from states. They want to force their will on the American people, the majority. Look at the likes and dislikes. And they're quite happy. I mean, this is an autocrat's dream, what's happening here. And it's, as Molly Hemingway said, it's horrifying. What was that quote she had in her tweet? To watch these oligarchs, to see them operate, it's terrifying. Listen to a little bit more from his interview with ESPN, clip 6.
The very people who are victimized the most are the people who are the leaders in these various sports. And it's just not right. This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states.
Jim Crow on steroids. There's just going to be lynchings in the street. I mean, we're going right back to the 1950s and 60s. And like I say, what's amazing here is this is actually the lawful way to go about upholding certain laws regarding election integrity. I think Georgia had 6,000 dead people vote on November 3rd. So does that need to be cleaned up? Is it reasonable to have people show some ID? Is it reasonable to get rid of dead voters? Is it reasonable to tell activists that you can't go and bribe a voter? As I say, it really is legislation that could have been a lot more strict. Jim Crow. And then he goes on to talk about the same things he brought up last week. They're going to close polls at 5. You're not going to be able to have water. Listen to this commentator on Fox News. This is from, I think, last week. It's clip 8.
The Democrats are race baiting. They are wrong. Look, I've reviewed the Georgia law myself. What Georgia's doing is the absolute right thing. I know the president's running around trying to tell people that you can't give somebody a cup of water, but that's not what Georgia law says. What Georgia law says is that you can't give people something of value when they're in lines getting ready to vote because, you know, we don't want to buy off votes in America. That's like a sound concept. That's what we should be doing. The other thing that's happening in these voting lines, people are getting these voter cards when they're also getting something of value in the lines. And so the Georgia legislature is right to get rid of that provision in Georgia law and make sure that they can't do those things. That's simple stuff, John. This is not what they're trying to say. They're trying to race bait because they know they got the argument wrong and they don't have a leg to stand on, so they got to use race.
That's one black commentator. Here's another one with some common sense. Candace Owens, clip 9.
This is such the bigotry of low expectations. It's not even though, because the Democrats know that what they're saying is absolutely foolish, right? The idea that black Americans are wandering around like Neanderthals going, how do we do it? How did everybody do this? This would mean, Tucker, we've never been into a hotel room. We can't get hotel rooms. We can't rent a car. We can't buy a car. We can't buy liquor, cigarettes, all the things that require just a simple form of identification. That means black Americans don't even have a bank account, Tucker. Can you imagine? We're running around going, how do we do it? How do we do it? Because we can't Google DMV near me and get there and provide basic, you know, pieces of education. It's so insulting. And it's funny because they don't think that people understand what they're doing. Democrat strategy is so simple. What do we want to accomplish? Anything that stands in our way, call it racist. And why do they call it racist? Because the truth here, Tucker, is they perceive black Americans as stupid and emotional. They view us to be low information. They want us to be their pawns. So if they call it racist, that means black Americans will go out and they'll go attack that thing that they called racist.
That's Candace Owens on Fox News a few nights ago. It's an interesting story. And you can see these two sides, they're digging in their heels because they know, both sides know. You know, even for these Georgia representatives, Governor Kemp, and you'll remember Raffensperger and Gabe Sterling and all these guys, it was just 2 seconds ago when the propaganda media they were heaping praise on these individuals because they stood up to Donald Trump. Remember, he said after November 3rd, it was rigged, it was stolen. You need a proper audit. You need to compare signatures. And you had all of those Georgia representatives, Republicans, yes, and some would say in name only. They stood up to Donald Trump and the propaganda media loved it. They loved it. And now these same officials, they get behind this new legislation. And that's really a quiet way of admitting, you know, Donald Trump may have been right. Or at the very least, they're acknowledging that there's a lot of unhappy voters in Georgia. So this goes through. And now, I mean, Governor Kemp, it's back on the side of the white supremacists, the Nazis. How could he do this? He's depriving black people the opportunity to vote. Because everybody knows black people don't have ID. You go back to what Candace Owens says there. How insulting if you're in the black community. It's just, it's an interesting story because this is the tug of war that's going to continue ahead of the next election. Because people know, on both sides, they know that unless you have some kind of election integrity, it's going to be stolen. The Democrats know it's easy. It's easy to pull off. And Republicans know if we don't do something, this is going to happen every single time. We'll take a quick break and come back with our study for today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times. But it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
This week we've been emphasizing submitting to God's will. We referred you to that prayer that Jesus Christ made the night before he was crucified, where he prayed, "Thy will be done." He didn't want to, if there was any way for this cup to pass, he said. He didn't want to go through it physically, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. This is from The War of the Wills, my father's book, How to Be an Overcomer. He says, we must be led and empowered by the Spirit of God. I gave you that scripture at the end of Tuesday's show. Romans 8, verse 14, verse 16. To be led and empowered by the Spirit of God. And through God's inspiration, the human will must choose to follow that Holy Spirit. It says the human will plays a key role in our building of character because there would be no character without it, but we must be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So the human will plays a role We have to set our minds in the right direction. Colossians 3:2. But in the end, it's God's will. It's God's power. It's God's spirit. It's God's character that forms in us if we're willing, if we're submissive to God's will. There's a verse in Acts 13, Acts 13 and verse 22, where it says, David was a man, King David, he was a man after God's own heart. He had a heart like God's. And then the rest of that verse says, he had a heart that would fulfill all of God's will. David made his mistakes, but he repented toward God. And he fulfilled all of the will of God. That's quite a statement to make about David and his character. Look at that process of overcoming and repentance as it's discussed in Psalm 51. These are prayers of repentance, following his sin with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah. It says, here's Psalm 51 and verse 7. It says, this is David saying, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. See, he was repenting of his sin, and that repentance started from within, from his heart, his mind, his attitude. And here are prayers of repentance, a great section of scripture to read, particularly at this time of year, during the days of unleavened bread. David prays, hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, create in me this cleanliness, this purity. Renew that right spirit in me. Verse 11 says, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. See, David was going along. He was being led by the Spirit of God. But that Spirit, as 1 Thessalonians 5 brings out, that Spirit can be quenched if we stop growing, if we stop pouring our hearts out to God in prayer and study, if we stop digging into God's truth, studying God's Word. David was on edge during his sin. His sinful living, he was on edge and in danger of almost losing the Holy Spirit here. He prays, he cries out to God and says, don't take that Holy Spirit away from me. He recognized just how much we need the Spirit of God. Our spiritual creation cannot be completed without the Spirit of God, without the power of God. As many as are led by the Spirit, that's what makes us the children of God. That's what makes us a true Christian. If the Spirit of God is leading us, if our minds are filled with God's power. Verse 12 here, it says, restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Moffat says there, give me a willing spirit. Give me a willing spirit. Help me to be pliable. Help me to be malleable. Help me to be like soft clay in the potter's hand so that you can shape and mold me into a perfect being. This was, again, all part of a very fervent prayer of repentance. Repentance toward God. Notice what Paul says over in Romans 12, just one verse here. Romans 12 and verse 2, and it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That renewal takes place every day in the prayer closet at the Bible study desk. 2 Corinthians 4, 16, day by day, we have to have that renewal. It says, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've got to be able to prove it. You've got to be able to know what God's will is. How do you know? Well, by digging into His Word, by studying His truth. God, that same prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, it says in one of the verses just before where I started reading, it talks about how God desires truth to be in our inward parts. Truth from the inside out. Here it says, prove what is that will of God. Here's what my father says in the Overcomer book. We have to say, I want God's will. I don't want my will. We have to study and listen and learn everything that we can about God's will and learn to love what He loves, follow where He leads, hate what He hates, grow excited about what excites Him. It says on so many specific points, it really gets down to you understanding and doing what the will of God is through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we ought to be striving to do. We have to grow always in proving what is the perfect will of God. We have to keep growing in proving what is that will. If you think about the prayer outline, you can read about it in Matthew 6, Luke chapter 11. Jesus there giving us instructions. Here's what you pray for. And one thing that we should be praying for every day is that God's will be done. Not our will, but we want to fulfill God's will. Thy will be done. When you pray that prayer, when you accept God's will instead of your own, well, you're acknowledging His supremacy in your life. God reigns supreme. He has supreme authority. And so we want to carry out His will, not our own. That's what Jesus was praying there in that final night. Look at John chapter 4. John 4 and verse 30, it says, then they went out of the city and came unto Him. In the mean, while His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, has any man brought Him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto him, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. That's what my meat, that's where I get my sustenance. That's where I get my food. He was talking obviously about spiritual food. I want to fulfill the will of God. My meat is to do the will of God. Doing God's will, that's what satisfies that intense spiritual hunger that we all have. We all have it. If our thinking is right. If we're submissive to God as our Heavenly Father, then fulfilling His will really is going to be satisfying. It'll satisfy that hunger. This is Ephesians 5. In this epistle, Paul talks about studying into or learning what the will of God is so that you can do it. You can see where Bible study is so important. Verse 15 of Ephesians 5, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Use your time wisely. We're living in evil times. We're living in evil days. Verse 17 says, wherefore, be you not unwise, but understand what the will of the Eternal is. Understand God's will. In my father's booklet, it says, just being in God's church does not guarantee that we will know God's will. We must be zealous in coming to understand the will of God, or we will understand it imperfectly. We've got to be zealous in understanding. And in other words, we've really got to study the truth of God. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to know the Bible. We've got to study the Bible. We've got to use the Bible. It's an instruction manual. Mr. Armstrong used to make this point often. It's our instruction manual for how to work, how the human body and mind work, how to live the abundant life, how to lead a life that brings blessings and prosperity and strength and power. Here in Ephesians 5, notice verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Fill up on the Spirit of God. Study God's Word. If you study the Word of God, then you can come to know what His will is in everything. You can learn to think the way that He thinks. And we need that in a world that, as you hear about on this program, it's a world where there's a lot of mental derangement, a lot of sickness and perversion, and that's prophesied. Isaiah 1 goes through that with us. And God wants us to think straight. He wants us to think like Him. He wants us to have common sense. More than that, He wants us to have the depths and the riches of His truth and understanding. You can read about that at the end of Romans 11. Study God's will and then work with God's help and power to live it, to put these precious truths into action, to be doers of God's word, doers of His will. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. You can email us if you like, td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.